Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and yes, the most happening place on the planet is vibrating with a lot of activity. Even though the temperature is soaring high, yes, it is very hot in Prashanti now. It's nothing less than 35. It's much more than 35. It's hovering around 40 actually. So it's definitely a difficult time weather-wise. But that has not in any way affected the crowd in Prashantinilayam. You see still so many people. The ashram road yesterday, I remember driving into the ashram after the evening bhajan, and it was as crowded. The road was as crowded as any other day. In fact, last Thursday we had the sublime and serene ceremony of the Aradhana Mahotsavam day, April 24th, 2014, and you had the eminent thinker, chartered accountant, corporate advisor, Mr. Swaminathan Gurumurthy, who spoke on the morning of April 24th. And it was a powerful talk on the idea of India and how Indian culture and traditions and way of life, which are based on ancient scriptures, are the bedrock on which will emerge a new superpower for the world. In fact, we also recorded an interview with Mr. Gurumurthy in the studio in the previous night, on April 23rd night. And it was truly a very revealing conversation. We will share this with you sometime. In the evening of April 24th, you had the music program by Pandit Debashish Bhattacharya from Kolkata, who is the pioneer of Indian slide guitar. And I remember doing a conversation with him when he was in Prashantinilayam in 2013 during birthday celebrations, and again it was a very, very revealing interview. Such is his love for Bhagwan and his gratitude for having been given this opportunity to perform in the divine presence, that all the compositions that he played during the 1 hour program, 5:30 to 6:30 on April 24th evening, were all original compositions done specially for the occasion. Each one was created by divine inspiration to be offered for that special day, Aradhana Day. Let me give you a glimpse of one of those compositions. So that's how his concert went, and the one singing was his daughter Anandi, and he was accompanied on the percussion by his brother Subhashish Bhattacharya. And as I mentioned, they performed for 1 whole hour, and each one was a special offering to Bhagwan. If one was ruminating on his love, the other was reflecting on his omnipresence. The third was ruminating on the sweet memories that Bhagwan has left each one of us with. So like this, for all those who could relate to what he was playing, he was taking everyone down the memory lane of moments. spent with the avatar. In fact, later when I was talking to him in the evening of 24th after his performance, he was only saying that this was an opportunity for him to connect to Baba. He said, I performed here not for anybody else and not for anything else. It was only to connect with Swami, only to offer my love to Swami. It is only to feel His presence and offer myself at His lotus feet. In fact, this was the spirit of the entire celebration, the entire occasion of Aradhana Mahotsavam Day. It was for all to find their Sai within, to feel Him within, to experience His love within. And to facilitate all of us in this endeavor, what we did on our website, Radio Sai website, during this period is, we had an initiative wherein we requested devotees from world over to answer this one question: how do I now connect with my Swami? How do I now connect with my Swami? And we received such heartening responses from all over the globe. And some of these beautiful emails is what I want to share with you today, and also play for you what esteemed elders like Dr. Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus, and Dr. Narasimhan, the director of the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, the former director of the Prashandalam campus, what all of these senior devotees, Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj, who is the director of Bhagwan's Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, what all of them had to say when I asked them this question of connecting with Bhagwan. So this is what we will be deliberating tonight in this last segment of Thursday Live, straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and we continue the last leg of our Thursday Live program. And today, as I just mentioned, how do I now connect with my Swami? That is what we are going to discuss. This is the second episode of this program. Last Thursday too, we had the same theme: how do I now connect with my Swami? And I played for you reflections of many senior devotees. Among them were Dr. Mohan, Mr. Naganand, Mr. Vishnivasan, and also devotees from all over the world. You had Leonardo Gutter, and listening to all these people was an eye-opening experience for many. For many, it was a confirmation of what they already know, and for others, it was giving them new insights of how to establish and sustain this connection with Bhagwan. So today I want to continue on the same theme: how do I now connect with my Swami? You heard Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao share his ways of feeling His presence in the last episode, along with many other distinguished elders. And today, I'm going to play for you what Dr. Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University, had to share when I asked him this question. This was recorded just yesterday. So here is, how do I now connect with my Swami, in the voice of Dr. Ravi Kumar.
Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram, Prashti.
You are someone who has been blessed to be with Bhagwan and live in His close proximity and bask in His divine physical presence for nearly 5 decades. And someone who went to Bhagwan with everything that concerned your life, be it personal or professional, and Bhagwan was there to guide you at every step. Now, in these changed circumstances, post April 2011, may I ask you, how do you now relate to Bhagwan? Where do you get your directions from? Do you feel lost? How do you connect with Bhagwan?
Thank you, Prashti, for this wonderful opportunity. Coming to your question, no, I don't feel lost. In fact, I think right from my childhood, Swami has been training me to turn inward. And He has given me ample experience to know that there is no difference between the outside Swami and the inside Swami.
Wow, you've got such experiences.
Yes, I have some experiences because of which I don't feel lost at all. In fact, if anything, it's easier to connect with Swami now.
Wonderful.
Of course, there is a certain beauty when you interact with Swami physically. I do sometimes miss that beautiful, charming form and the loving inquiries of Bhagwan physically. But I must say that the same love, the same affection now comes from within. Really, I don't feel there is any difference. There is no post-2011 and pre-2011.
Wow.
The connection has always been there. And I think I was very lucky in this sense because I stayed in Vrindavan. In the first few years of my stay at Vrindavan, Swami used to spend a lot of time in Vrindavan. And then once the Prashantinilayam campus came into existence, Swami would spend something like half the time here and half the time there. And then I had to do my post-graduation in Anantapur, about 80 kilometers from here. So I had to learn...
So this was which college in Anantapur?
The SK University in okay. Anantapur, not our campus. That's a women's campus.
Yes.
So I had to learn to connect within and seek that joy and the advice Bhagwan, which was always forthcoming. So because of all this training, even after 2011, I have not felt there is any difference at all.
So you said there were many experiences which sort of confirmed in you that the Swami inside is the same as the Swami outside that you saw the physical form.
Yes. Here is one instance when Swami confirmed for me that He is within and He is without. It was one particular festival in which Swami was giving discourse in the Mandir, Prashantinilayam Mandir. I forget which function it was, which festival it was. But Swami mentioned in His discourse that if you look at avatars, if you look at the face of an avatar, He said it is like the full moon.
Wow.
And it is complete. Okay. And you will not see anything else. You know, it's like a complete Purna Chandra, like that, He said. And just behind the Swami was Shirdi Baba with his mustache and beard.
The statue.
The painting, portrait. Mm. Okay, so after Swami's discourse, as I was going to the hostel, there was this internal discussion going on. And I was telling Swami, Swami, you said today that when we look at the face of an avatar, the avatar's face is a complete full moon.
Clear and radiant.
And of course, Shirdi Baba's face is radiant.
Absolutely.
But Swami, there is this mustache and beard, which, it is not a full moon like, okay, that's what I thought.
Not clear.
Not clear.
That way.
Not partitioned.
Yes.
So I was praying to Swami. I said, Swami, I know that whatever Swami says is the truth. The absolute truth. And I also know that Shirdi Baba did look like that from all the accounts we have heard of. So, Swami, I pray to you that kindly enlighten me with respect to this. And immediately I got this message from within. And Swami said, yes, I said that what I said about the avatar is generic to all avatars. But sometimes what happens is the mission of a particular avatar entails that certain changes must be made. And he said, for instance, in the Shirdi avatar, the purpose was to unite Hindus and Muslims.
Yes.
So, Baba had to look like a Muslim to be acceptable to the Muslim part of the populace. And he also had to look like a Hindu, or he had to behave like a Hindu so that the Hindus would find him acceptable. And Swami said this was the reason that he looked like a Muslim, but he would light lamps in the mosque and so on. Practices which, it's something very unusual. This is what Swami said. And I felt very happy, and I felt extremely delighted that Swami took it upon himself to clarify this for me.
So this happened from within?
From within. But it didn't end there, and that is the beauty. The next day, it happened that in the morning, the warden had been called in for an interview along with Mr. V.K. Narasimhan.
He was then the editor?
Yes, he was then the assistant editor of
Sanatan Sarathi.
So, in the evening, in the course of a discussion with the warden mentioned what had happened in the interview room. He said that Swami had talked about the previous day's discourse, and Mr. V.K. Narasimhan had asked, Swami, you said that the avatar's face is like a full moon, but Shirdi Baba has mustache and beard and all that. And you know, my ears pricked up. I said, wow, what is Swami going to say now?
Yes.
You know, exactly the same answer Swami gave me inside, from inside, was the answer Swami had given them. I had not discussed this with anybody.
Wow.
And Swami said, you know, I was talking generally about avatars, but Shirdi Baba had to look like a Muslim to be acceptable to the Muslims, and he had also to be acceptable to the Hindus so that both the communities would listen to him. That's what he had said. And I was absolutely delighted, because I have heard Swami say this, that each one of you has a Swami within you. Okay? And he will teach you the Bhagavad Gita meant for you. So listen to him.
That's beautiful. He will teach you the
Bhagavad Gita meant for you. You know, designer made.
Yes.
And this was a beautiful experience that I had, which confirmed for me that Swami is within my heart. And also by extension, I know that the same Swami exists in everybody's heart. And I find this in my daily practice. I do find that sometimes you come across some tough customers. People who exterior are quite tough. And I always find it very profitable to pray to the Swami in their heart. Because I don't know then what happens, because they become all soft.
Wow.
And their entire way of conversation changes.
Have you had real life experiences of such nature?
Yes, I have had.
Wow, wonderful. So I think in this long journey with Bhagwan, there would have been so many instances where this feeling of Swami within and without being the same would have got just confirmed again and again. And by virtue of you being in Vrindavan, where some months of the year Bhagwan was definitely in Prashantilayam, so there was a physical absence of Bhagwan. So I think that would have just only sort of solidified.
Yes, definitely. And every experience only confirms this and gives you a lot of delight. Because imagine having Swami all to yourself.
Absolutely. You know? This is such a beautiful thing you mentioned, that Swami is there within, giving each one of us the Bhagavad Gita that is meant for us.
Yes, designer made, you know.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I will tell you the Bhagavad Gita I listen to. Because
sure.
Every one of us probably goes through the kind of feeling that Arjuna goes through when you're faced with a battle.
Okay. Yes. And who is not in a battle?
Yeah, and who is not in a battle? Once you are born, I think the battle, the bugle is sounded.
Yes.
And the march begins.
Absolutely.
So, this was the time when I was doing my research in Prashantinilayam. And you know, research is a time when, of course, it's a battle.
Yeah. The 4-5 years battle at least.
Yeah. And almost on a day-to-day basis, you have ups and downs.
Yes.
And I was going through one of these downs, let's say. And it was immediately after the bhajan on that particular day. Swami was in Prashantinilayam. And you know, I had this habit of walking to the ground and going round the ground and thinking of Swami. You know, being alone, they say satsangatve nisangatvam. You know, when you are in God's contact, you like to be alone. So I used to find this nice practice, walking around thinking of Swami. And then as I was walking around the ground, which is now the stadium. It was not a stadium then. It was in two different levels. There's an extension of the hill actually. I was ruminating on this situation I was going through. I had not got results properly in my research on that day.
In your the tests going on in the laboratory?
Yeah, the tests in the laboratory, and I was a little concerned. At that time, as if the volume was switched on, okay, I heard Swami telling me from within, you know, your problem is you lack self-confidence. You need to have self-confidence, Ravi, and everything will sort itself out. And then Swami said, one nice way to do this is to speak in public. Of course, I had spoken in public earlier, but Swami said, what date is it today? I said, Swami, it is 12th of September, 1986 it was. And Swami said, look at the watch, what is the time? You know, I never used to have a watch those days for some other reason, because Swami had told me he would give a watch and he had not given me for 15 long years.
So you never wore a watch?
I never wore a watch.
Okay.
But that day I happened to have somebody else's watch, because that person had asked me to get it repaired while going to the mandir. So I just looked at the watch, it was 6 o'clock. Obviously that day Swami had finished bhajans by 5:50 or so. And so I looked at the watch, it was 6 p.m. And Swami said, on the same date next month, at the same time, you will be speaking about me in my presence in Poonachanda auditorium.
Wow.
And this was so delightful, and I was so happy that the moment I went to the hostel, I looked at the date and I found that October 12th that year happened to be Vijayadashmi Day, 1986. So I was very happy, and I was so happy that Swami had given me such a prior notice about a speech I was to give.
One month
in advance.
Generally, you never get,
yeah,
normally, you get to know so much in advance.
Yeah, normally I'm used to Swami giving me about 30 seconds. Or sometimes, you know, Swami would send word in the morning,
yes,
that I have to speak in the evening and so on. So, one full month. And so I was very delighted, and I thanked Swami so heartily. And a few days later, the Vice Chancellor, we had a Vice Chancellor who had just come in, because in 85 there was a change of Vice Chancellor from Professor V.K. Gokak to Professor Saraf. Okay, so he came to me, he called me aside and he said, I have a good news for you. And he whispered into my ear, Swami has selected you to give a speech during Dasara. And I don't know what he expected. Maybe he expected me to show a little more reaction. And I said, thank you, sir. It's so kind of you to give me such a lovely message.
So he thought probably you'll be very excited.
Very excited. I was excited. But my excitement was, I was thanking the Swami within, because he had already given me prior notice.
Yes.
So the Vice Chancellor said, are you not excited about this? I said, of course, sir, I am very excited about it. He said, you're not showing it. Okay, so...
Well, it was not a surprise for you.
It was not a surprise for me, like it would have been if I had heard it for the first time.
Exactly.
About a week later...
See, but this only shows that whatever conversation you had inside, you were so sure about it. It was so clear for you that,
yes,
it was not an imagination.
It's not an imagination. And I had experiences which have confirmed it so many times that I was really sure that this is going to happen. Okay. Then, about a week later, the Vice Chancellor prayed to Swami that he should guide those selected for speaking during Dasara. And Swami called all of us students and research scholars who had to speak for an interview. And Swami asked each student, what are you going to speak about? What are you going to speak about? And they said various topics. And when he came to me, he just skipped me, you know,
oh.
And went around. I also did not say anything. Okay. And then by the time Swami came to the last student, the bhajan started. And Swami said, okay, all of you take namaskar and go. And as we were taking namaskar, as the person in front of me was taking namaskar, there was just about that 5 seconds or something when it was blank, you know. So I looked at Swami and said, Swami, what about my topic? Swami said, I have already told you.
Oh.
Okay. So it was one more confirmation for me. I already told you. He said so clearly that I said, okay, Swami. And I did namaskar. And when we came back, the Vice Chancellor was curious about what topic Swami had approved and all that.
But did Swami tell you what you have to speak on?
Yes, Swami had told you will be speaking about me in my presence.
Oh, about me, that's
about
what
me. Okay. So, of course, what I understood was experiences with Bhagwan. Okay. So, when we came out, the Vice Chancellor asked everybody what a Swami told. And when I mentioned experiences with Bhagwan, he said, no, 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 you'll have to speak about some concept or some teaching or message of Bhagwan. Okay. And I said, no, sir, this is what Swami has told me. And he said, I think you might not have understood it properly. You do one thing, all of you write your topics and give me, I'll get it confirmed by Bhagwan tomorrow. And mine was the last name, okay, and the topic I had written, my experiences with Bhagwan. So the Vice Chancellor went, and afterwards he was describing to us that he had read out everything, and when he came to the last name, he said Ravi Kumar, and Swami said experiences with Swami.
Swami himself said. Oh wow.
Okay. So he came and said, you got it right. Swami also said that. On his own, Swami said that you're going to speak about experiences, so it's fine. So the Dasara started. And you know, when the Saptaha Yajnam starts, the Jnana Yajnam is in the evening, where we have the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. And Swami would send word in the morning about who has to speak in the evening. So this continued like that. There would be some scholar, and then there would be a student, a lecturer, a scholar, whatever combination. And then it happened that on the Navami day, normally every evening they would announce on the program. On the Navami day, there was no announcement, except that there would be Purnahuti the next morning. And suddenly it dawned on me that on Vijayadashmi day, there is no evening program.
Correct. After the Yajnam and Purnahuti is over,
yes,
celebration is,
yes,
complete.
It's complete. And what Swami would do is, he would also give a Vijayadashmi discourse, but that discourse would be when these Purohits go to Chitravati after the Purnahuti, they take the water there.
Correct.
And come back, and before Swami sprinkles that on
that
everybody,
1 hour gap.
That 1 hour gap, Swami would give a discourse. So I realized that there would be no opportunity. But I was absolutely convinced that whatever I am going to speak, because Swami has told me.
You are sure?
I was very sure. And there was one more fellow research scholar who was a little concerned. You know, we are the only two left out from that list. And I kept telling him, don't worry, definitely there will be an occasion today evening. Swami will create an occasion. And then, as the Purohits left, suddenly Swami asked for the table. And you know, the table and the mic came, and it was like Swami would start his discourse. We don't know what happened. After asking for the table and the mic, Swami just came and sat on the steps and said, Bhajan Cheyandi.
Okay, start Bhajan.
Start Bhajan. So the Bhajan started, and the Bhajans continued, and the Purohits came, and Swami took the Kalashman water and sprinkled on everybody, and the morning program came to an end, and they announced that there would be evening public.
So Bhagwan didn't give discourse?
He didn't give discourse in the morning. So in the evening, it was fixed that there would be a discourse. So it was very beautiful. And of course, we got the news that we would be speaking. We were very delighted. That particular day, there were so many speakers lined up. Okay. And
guest speakers.
Guest speakers and both of us. And there was some book release also. The Anantapur College principal had written a compilation of Swami's Padyams and all. So that was slated for that evening. And then, even as Swami was coming to the stage, Swami saw Professor Kasturi in his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
He had been sick.
Yes, this is 86.
86.
He passed on the next year, right? 87.
Yeah, around that time. Okay. So he was in the wheelchair, and Swami asked him, Kasturi, will you speak? And Professor Kasturi was very excited. He said, yes, Swami, I will speak. And in fact, that was the last speech that Professor Kasturi gave in Swami's presence, in his Swami's physical presence. And I remember that the others spoke, and the book release was there, and then Swami asked Professor Kasturi to speak. At one particular point, Swami told Professor Kasturi, bus, he said. So Professor Kasturi wound up the speech,
stop,
bus. Yeah, in Hindi. So within a couple of sentences, Professor Kasturi wound up his speech. And then Swami looked at me and said, you speak. So I did namaskar and went and stood in front of the podium. And there was a clock at the end of, behind, you know.
Yes,
in
straight.
Yeah, straight. And I looked at it, it was 6 o'clock.
Wow.
And it was 12th October.
My God.
1966. I mean, when you have that kind of experiences, I don't think you ever can doubt, because you cannot imagine such a thing.
Exactly.
So that kind of experiences have confirmed for me that Swami is inside, and Swami's guidance continues. It's like Swami is on the hotline, always ready. It is just that we don't turn to Him all the time.
Exactly. It's how clear we make our pathway, that part of that connection which is from us to God, how clear we make it, how pure we make it.
Clear is one thing. Also, we don't lift the receiver. You know, all that it takes is to lift the receiver and He is waiting there to talk to you.
Yes.
Okay. But we get caught up in our worldly activities so much that we very often we forget this. But of course, in crisis, we have learned the art of lifting the receiver.
Yes.
And there is Swami there, sweet Swami, as always, waiting to help us, waiting to hold our hand,
yes,
waiting to give us a shoulder, and that soothing, loving, kind.
Yes. The analogy that always comes to me is just like in a dark room. Even if the door is closed and if there is a tiny bit of hole in the door, the light would rush in.
Yeah.
Because Bhagwan mentioned on one occasion saying that that is how much eager is Lord to enter into your life. He just needs even a slightest hole, just like light would come in, He wants to come in.
Swami in fact said that suppose you have a house which has been closed for 50 years. No, it's been pitch dark inside. He said, the moment you open it, light rushes in and it is all lit. It doesn't take 50 years for the darkness to be banished.
Exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. Now, you've had this beautiful opportunity of visiting many places and sharing Bhagwan's love and His message in India and abroad. Other occasions, you know, when you felt Bhagwan's this strong presence, you know, you are asked to speak someplace or you go visit someplace, and many times, you know, you are yourself surprised at the way things pan out and you unmistakably feel His presence.
To be honest, Bishu, this is how it always happens. I'm not exaggerating. In fact, every time you go with thinking that you would speak something, ultimately it turns out that you speak something totally different, and people come and thank you and say, thank you answered our question, and then you realize that Swami has been answering their questions by guiding the speech. You know, it happened to me physically also. I think I should take this opportunity to mention this.
Do share.
You know, in one of the Dasaras, maybe about a decade back or maybe 10-12 years back, as I came to take Swami's namaskar just before my speech, Swami asked me, what are you going to speak about? And realizing that maybe Swami wanted me to speak about something, but I said, whatever you tell me, Swami. Swami said, speak about your I. Okay.
Yes.
So that's an experience that I had, where I had lost my eyes and Swami had given me back my eye. Immediately after my speech, somebody came to me and he thanked me so profusely and he said, you don't know what you have done to my life today. Okay. These were the words he mentioned, and he thanked me and he went off. And almost a decade later, or 11 years later, I bump into this gentleman, and then, you know, he comes and says, you may not remember me, but you know, so many years back, 10 or 11 or something, 12 years back, one Dasara you spoke about your eyes, and you know what a difference it made to me. So since I was also free and he also seemed to have time, I said, sir, can you please elaborate on what you're telling? Then he said, you know, around that time I had gone with my friends and we had some water sport somewhere we went, and somebody directed a jet towards my eye. Okay. And then something happened, I could not see clearly. And I came home and had some kind of a headache. But I had promised my wife that we would go for a film that day. And she insisted that we should go for a film. I didn't want to tell her I had a headache. She would say, you're just giving an excuse or something. So I went with her. But you know, when I came back, it was worse. And it continued like that for a few days. So one day I went to the doctor and showed it to him. And the doctor said, a small procedure needs to be done. Okay. When can you take leave and come? I said, sir, 6 months from now. And the doctor said, how about tomorrow?
Oh my God.
I think it's a small procedure. Let's finish it off tomorrow. And so he went home and he announced that the next day he was going to have an eye surgery. You can imagine the shock at home. He got admitted and the operation went on for 9 hours.
9 hours.
That's what he was describing to me. And then he said, you know, they had to put a new retina. He had a retinal tear or something, he said. And they had to put a new retina. Now, when you put a new retina, what happens? It is like you put a new screen. Okay, and you put a gum and you're putting it on the wall of your eye. And something has to hold it in place, isn't it? So what do you do? You fill the eye with a gas and you have to lie upside down so that the gas pushes the screen, holds the screen up.
Okay.
And he said like that, he had to, for almost a couple of months or 3 months, he had to lie down like that. And then he said, there were about 11 or 12 people working for him. And when he went to the office, all of them had left.
Oh my God.
He had lost everything. And then his wife challenged him. She said, you give so many inspiring speeches, I think it's time for you now to show that you really mean what you say. And so he went to the office, and he was a very, very knowledgeable person in making software. And some people whom he knew insisted that he should make a software. And so with a huge, big font, you know, he read a book. And then he made a software which turned out to be very successful. But after that, what happened was, he again lost vision in his eyes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided that he's not going to fight this anymore. He said, it's destined, I'm not going to fight this. And he was very depressed and lost and all that, he said. And it was at that time he went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, look, I have done all that I can. Only somebody like Sai Baba can save you. So go to Sai Baba.
The doctor said this.
So he asked the doctor, sir, which Sai Baba are you talking about? He said, in Puttaparthi, there's one Sai Baba. You go to him. And this man comes home and remembers he had a classmate with some name with Sai appended. Okay, some Sai Prasad or something like that. And so he rings him up and asks, hey, do you know anything about Sai Baba? You know, the doctors asked me to go there. And he says, yeah, of course, I'm a Sai devotee. Come, we'll go. And he said, and it was a Dasara day. And we came, there were three or four of them. They came and sat at the back. And Swami was orange, something orange at a distance with black, you know.
This was because of how far he was sitting or because of his vision?
No, his vision was so poor that he couldn't see, and he was about 35 feet away, something.
Yes, yeah, in the end of the Purnachandra auditorium.
Not Purnachandra, this was Kulwanthal. Yeah. So he was saying that there was a smear of orange and a black. That's all he could see, Swami. And I sat there depressed, and suddenly he said, you spoke about your eye.
Wow.
And he said that immediately, I said, if this is what Swami does, all that I have to do is pray to him and he'll give me also eyesight. And he said he decided to go back and fight. And within few months, he started gaining vision. He said he got back about 40% vision or something in one night. And he said, I was back the next Dasara. And as I sat there, I was praying to Swami, Swami, you have given me vision in one eye. Please give me in the other eye also. And in Swami's discourse, Swami said, there are some people in this audience, okay, if you give them one, they ask for two.
Oh my God.
And then he said, see, this is, so I must thank you. Then I told him, please don't thank me. Do you know what happened? Let me tell you my part of the story. When I came there, Swami himself told me to speak about the eye. It was for you. This is how Swami is connected to everybody, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the two things come to my mind. One is how Bhagwan mentioned, right, very early in his avatar, that his discourses are not lectures but mixtures. Because he mentioned, because he's giving what is specific to so many people
simultaneously. Yeah.
So someone would think that why sometimes Bhagwan is jumping topics. Bhagwan is saying something from the Ramayana, suddenly he moves on and saying it from some other scripture.
Because Swami has a very tough task, you know. When he gives a discourse, he has to address the audience, which can range from a 5-year-old kid to a 95-year-old gentleman. And he has to address people who have come for the first time, like this person, and somebody who has been hearing discourses for the last 25, 30, 40 years. And he has to address people of all sections, of all cultures, of all languages, and he had to do it in a designer-made way for each one, you know.
Absolutely.
So it strikes a chord in each heart, the right Amazing.
Amazing. Mm. And the other thing also which comes to your mind is, this eye incident is something which Bhagwan asked you to narrate so many times. Mm. And many times, you know, as a student, I used to feel that whenever he gets up, why does he speak about the eye? You know, many of us boys used to feel that way.
Mm.
You've had like so many experiences with Bhagwan, mm. more than 4 decades with Bhagwan, but no one knows this behind the scenes story where yeah. Bhagwan himself actually mm. has directed you to speak about it.
Yeah, but let me also tell you how I used to feel. I used to feel very grateful to Swami because, I mean, it's one more chance for me to express my gratitude to him. What else can you give him?
Absolutely.
You know, there is nothing that you can give him
yes.
except to worship him with yes. flowers, very poor flowers in the form yes. of words, you know.
Absolutely.
Make a garland and offer at his feet, because he has given you something which is so precious in life, which yeah. nobody else can give.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the apple of our eyes.
Yes.
And he's given you eyes.
Yeah.
There can be no powerful story than that. In fact,
Swami says that I'll take care of you as the eyelids protect the eye. You know?
Yes, yes.
And that is what he has been doing all through. And there has been no difference.
Yes,
post 2011.
Yeah, it continues.
Okay, it continues. The grace, the love, the affection, and the kindness, and the compassion of Swami is the same.
Beautiful, sir. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Bishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that is Dr. Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus, sharing his story of how he felt the voice within and the confirmation of the voice within to be the voice without when Bhagwan was there in the physical form. I mean, he's had such powerful experiences to let him know that Swami inside and Swami outside is not different. No way different. And I think this is the experience of all of us now. There is this Sai devotee, Miss Christina Campitelli Padolini. Christina Campitelli Padolini from Italy. When we asked on our website, how do you now connect with Bhagwan? This is what she wrote. One fine morning in July 2011, as I was sitting inside Kulwant Hall, in tears and still with a broken heart at the sight of that empty chair, suddenly I heard his voice within me saying, "Focus on my presence, not on my absence." Focus on my presence, not on my absence. At that very moment, the incredible strength that derives from being in his omnipresent presence took over my life. That is how I now connect with Sai. Swami told me, "You cannot see me, but I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, but I am the sound you hear by. You cannot know me, but I am the truth by which you live." And she says, "Every morning I remind myself that Sai is the doer and I am the seer. And I ask Swami to live through me, to act through me, to feel through me and to love unconditionally through me. As I do that, I notice that the feeling of doership gets weaker and weaker, and then as a consequence I experience a deeper peace, because the feelings of guilt, pride, lack of self-confidence have no more reason to be in me. If Sai is acting through me, how can I feel proud of anything? Thy will be done, Swami, not mine. Thy will be done. This is my prayer, and this is the password to the high-speed connectivity, high-speed connection to my Sai Internet." This is what Miss Christina Campidelli Padolini from Italy had to share. Similarly, there's another devotee, Sucharita Gupta from Singapore. She says, "I have never been physically very close to Sai, so the way I connect to him has always been simply through speaking. Whenever I am in need of a friend who could lend me an ear unconditionally, I would talk to my Sai. Whenever I need motherly love and comforting care, I would turn to my Sai. Whenever I need fatherly guidance in a difficult situation, I would ask for guidance from my Sai. In all such situations, I would just pour my heart out to my beloved Sai, and he would be there in whatever form I need him. When I meet with failures, I put all the responsibility on his shoulders and he takes care of the rest. So also when I find success, I offer all the credibility at his lotus feet, all the credit to him, and he takes care of the rest. Therefore, my way of connecting with Swami is very simple. Speak to him. He is right there for me, everywhere, every time. So this is what Ms. Sucharita Gupta from Singapore had to say. In the introduction to this appeal that we had on the website, where we asked everyone to share how they now connect with Swami, we presented three scenarios. We said that when April 24, 2011 happened, it was earth-shattering, yes. Especially for those who had developed a fond kinship with the beautiful physical form of Swami. That they cannot give one more letter to Swami, that they cannot touch his lotus feet one more time, that they can no more go to their Sai and heartfully present their personal and professional problems, that there is none now whom they can hold on to in times of their need and adversity, that bewitching smile of the Lord can never be seen again with their eyes, that they can never again sit in the Sai Kurvanth Hall anxiously and expectantly wait for their beatific Sai to glide in, that they have now become orphans, that they have nowhere to go and no one to turn to, that existence has suddenly become meaningless and helplessly hollow. These are thoughts and feelings of some devotees when Bhagwan bid farewell to his bodily vesture. This became absolutely cataclysmic for some people, and all the people who experienced this emotion, we called this category of devotees the near ones. Then there were others, most probably living in places far away from Puttaparthi, and most of whom have never seen the physical form of Bhagwan. So for them, the news of April 24, 2011 had negligible impact, because they wondered, what do they mean by saying he is gone? Why are they grieving saying he is not there anymore? Why are they crying? I mean, isn't he not there with us now, just like before? He is still there, he is helping us, he is guiding us, he is protecting us, like he is doing all these years. So Swami is there certainly with us, and he will be with us forever. This is how another group felt, and we call this group the dear ones. And then there is a third group who knew in their heart of hearts that Sai's form may have disappeared, but Sai remains. Baba's voice may have become silent, still his message reverberates. His movements may have stopped, but his mission moves on. This group of people, they were convinced of all this. However, at times unable to bear the sudden exit of their beloved Bhagwan, who was their father, mother, friend, everything, they broke down helplessly. They cried like a child every time they came to Prashanti and sat in the relatively empty Sai Kurvanth Hall. They just could not stop their tears. They knew he is still there, still they missed him. They knew he is beyond the physical, still they pined for his physical darshan. They knew he is everywhere, still they longed to touch him. And we called this group of people the near and dear ones. So you had the near ones, the dear ones, and this third group, the near and dear ones. And we concluded this introduction saying, 3 years have gone by since Bhagwan chose to be accessible only as cosmic Sai, and all these different categories of devotees also have made strides in their personal journeys to Swami. And now there is only one choice. You can only be the dear one. You can no more be the near one and the near and dear one, because ultimately all have to reconcile to the stage of tier one, so that each one can once again experience that nearness and dearness with the divine, where you feel that nothing has changed, everything remains, only I have to change. And each devotee is on this path now. And what I read out to you is what different devotees have shared. There was one more such response from a devotee, Ms. Disha Budwani. She says, the connection was always there, and if it was ever lost, it would be because of my shortcomings. To connect to Swami is very easy. Even if you just send him a silent prayer in times of your trouble, he responds. I am staying abroad for the past 12 years now, and it was a big blow for me to be away from Bhagwan's physical form. But I guess he wanted me to see his cosmic form even before he left his body. I speak to him the whole day, telling him things, asking his advice, complaining, fighting, arguing, and he responds. He responds to all. Sometimes I even bother to ask him, what do I cook for the day? And then he says what I have to do from within. Sometimes he is quiet. Maybe he is upset with the way I behaved. But believe me, he is nearer than the near ones. The latest thing I was telling Swami is this. Swami, I want you. I want to be near and dear to you. I told him, see, there are some people who are near you, but they are not dear to you. Some could be dear to you, but they were not near. So they had the physical proximity. So it is that physical proximity, but the heart-to-heart connection, that is nearness and dearness. This is what I was telling Swami, that I want this heart-to-heart connection. And within just few days, Radio Sai puts up this article about Aradhana Mahotsavam and this appeal, where they write that there are some people who know that they have left the physical form, but still they long for the physical frame, and they are the near and dear ones. And she says, Swami has answered my prayers through Radio Sai. I have to just be pure and truthful in my thought, word and deed, and then I can connect with Bhagwan. He says, in fact, Swami himself connects with us. He has himself said, if you desire me, you deserve me. And then she went on to write a small couplet in Hindi. Ae meri pyari Sai Ma, tera haath na chhoote, ye bandhan na toote, tu kabhi humse na roote, chhoote agar saanson ki door bhi, phir bhi ye janmo janmo ka saath na chhoote. He's praying to Swami that this connection with him continues, always abides. So like this, we have received responses from all over the world, and it's really so enriching. Reading each of these responses, you can find nearly 100 such emails on our website. If you go to the link which says, how do I now connect with Bhagwan, you can read plenty of such responses. There's another such email from a devotee by the name Ram Krishna. He says, during midnight of 24th April 2011, as I had to pick up something, I came back to my room from Sai Kurbanth Hall, and when I was about to enter my room, to my surprise, I found an old discourse booklet in the corridor with the last page upwards. I was very much sure that it was not there before, so I curiously picked it up to read. My eyes happened to notice only the last few words of that discourse, and they were so soothing to my distraught condition. I felt it was Swami who sent me that message at that point in time. And in that discourse, Swami says, even after the physical body ceases to exist, the motherly relationship exists. A mother is a mother. Hence, there can be no greater respectable and sweet feeling than motherhood. Many people write letters to me addressing me as Mother Sai. They refer to me as the revered mother. I also address all of you as children. This is what Swami had written. What was there in the discourse that he had read? Even after the physical body ceases, the motherly relationship exists. And he says that made me comfortable. And I felt Swami is just not always with me, around me, above me, but within me. Because he consoled me with that assurance as a divine mother on that most critical point of my life when each of our hearts were pained by his absence. This happened on 24th April 2011. So he says Swami was with us, but now he is within us. And he is our Hridayavasi, the one who dwells in our heart, and there is a direct connection. So everyone's reflection like this is very uplifting. I asked Dr. Narasimhan, the director of the Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital, to share what has been his experience. How does he now get directions from Bhagwan to continue the mission of providing medical help to hundreds and thousands of villages, which happens every month?
Sairam, Dr. Narasimhan, you are someone who has had the chance to interact with Bhagwan at a physical level in this last 2 decades. And whether it concerns the mobile hospital project or whether it concerns your personal life, Bhagwan has guided you at every step. Whenever you needed directions from him, you went to him and he gave you very clear instructions. So you never had any ambiguity about how to proceed taking those important decisions in your life or how to march forward with the mobile hospital project. But now the situation is so different. Post April 2011, there were times when we were confused. There were times we were probably, some of us were groping in the dark. And we were trying to rediscover how do we now carry on with our lives. How do we take this mission of Bhagwan forward in our own little capacities. So what has been your experience? How do you now continue to take those decisions in your life? How do you now, with the same enthusiasm and energy, take forward the mobile hospital project?
Sairam Bishu, as you rightly said, it's not me alone, but quite a good number of devotees who had the fortune, the special privilege of the physical proximity of our Lord. Perhaps I used to feel that not just because of my involvement, or rather my work as the director of Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital, but also the basic fact that my passion for Gram Seva is one which Swami used to like from the very beginning. And as you rightly said, Swami had guided me all through. Of course, not to the minutest details. Bhagwan would give us subtle hints, broad ideas. And he used to say, I have given you common sense at the mind level, intelligence at the intellect level, and conscience, me, at the soul level. Use all these 3 senses effectively, and there you get solutions and replies. But again, as you said, the scenario now is different. Bhagwan has withdrawn his physical frame, but I, as one, feel that now we have a greater responsibility of carrying forward his mission, the works which he had initiated for humanity at large and also for each one of us as part of our spiritual sadhana. The subject of oneself connecting with the Lord is perhaps a very personal, a sensitive and a delicate matter. But all said and done, since we are sadhaks, each one has a very special way of connecting with the Lord, depending on the sadhana in which he is in, either seva or japa or dhyana, and also the type of work which one is involved, wherein he feels the guidance of the Lord is absolutely necessary, especially at some stages when one is in a confused state. The process of connecting oneself with our Lord basically means either identification of the individual self, the lower self, with the master, the higher self, or a process where the individual self tries to efface itself, erode its individuality, and then tell the Lord that it is you who is everything, that it is you who is acting through this physical body, thereby becoming a good conduit or a medium for flow of the cosmic energy or the divine grace, or in simple terms, spiritualizing the work and getting guidance direct from the source. As for me, I have different ways with which I try to connect to our master. It depends on perhaps the situation also, whether I am doing it as my regular routine sadhana or whether I am placed in a critical or a difficult situation. The first way in which I connect myself, not only now, even when Bhagavan was physically there, as you know, in the last phase, he was not that accessible as he was in the previous years. The first method is taking the name of the Lord, because as you know, the name and the form are not different. The name is the Lord himself. But being a rural health services doctor, a field sevak, as I would say, I don't perform any exclusive session of japa or parayana or anything. Taking the cue from what Sant Kabir Das had said, Dil mein Ram, Haat mein Kaam, I try to connect myself with the Lord, be it in my early morning walk, where I feel the process is a transmutation of a physical exercise into a spiritual exercise, doing namasmarana and walking, or at a time when I am walking even in the village, where I feel the mobile hospital should become not just a hospital, but a spiritual ground when you take the name of the Lord. Or also when I am deeply concerned about some patient and writing a prescription, where I would feel, my master, you should flow through this pen and heal this person who has come with so much faith. The second method by which I try to connect with Swami, especially now that he is physically not there, is using the photograph of our Lord. And the basis for this is what Swami had told the great and noble musician, M.S. Subbalakshmi, once when she said, Swami, my room is beautiful. There are so beautiful photos of yours which are in my room. Swami said, it is not my photograph, it is me there.
Amazing.
Yeah. He said, I am there. So taking this cue, even as part of my routine sadhana, when I go for work, with all humility I would say, I look at his photo deeply and intently, and then chant one sloka which I learned from a great saint, Swami Chidananda, who had given mantropadesha for me. Naham karta harikarta satpuja karma gakinam yad yad karma karomi tatalakinam shambho tavaradhanam hariyom tat sat brahmarpanamastu paramatmane namaha parabrahmane namaha sri satya sai parabrahmane namaha. And also, as you know, the sloka which we all chant, kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana va prakrute svabhavat karomi yad sakalam parasmai narayanayeta samarpayami sri satya sai narayanayeta samarpayami. So looking at the photo deeply and intently, when we chant these slokas, I feel we do get connected with the Master, even though he's physically not with us.
If you can briefly explain the meaning of these slokas.
These slokas, as you know, the first one, Naham Karta Hari Karta, where you're trying to negate your individuality. It is said that sadhana involves negation of the individuality and assertion of the universality. The little self has to get eroded and effaced in the process. The seva or the japa which you do is an external tool, but the internal intent is to efface the little self. And when you chant the sloka with intent, deep intent and bhav, looking at the Master's photo, you know. And of course, kaya na vacha is, we know, what all I am doing through my speech, my actions, my thoughts, I am putting it at your lotus feet, Master. So, you know, this is what these slokas convey. And when we chant it...
These are slokas of absolute annihilation of your ego and submerging yourself with the universal
yes.
self.
As you rightly said, especially in the sadhana of seva, there is an imminent hidden danger always that sometimes you start realizing, you start behaving as though you become a big man, you are performing sevas which nobody else does.
You are saving
all these
lives.
Things. Yes, you are saving lives, all this. You know, when we chant the sloka intently, somehow or the other, during the course of our work, we get reminded that not me, but he who is working through this physical frame. And when you are sincere in this sort of an bhav and attitude, Swami takes care, he doesn't allow you to, you know, go out of the path and imagine that you are so-and-so or Mr. XYZ who is the director of so-and-so and all that. Which would be the very, you know, antithesis of the reason why you have entered the spiritual life.
Correct.
Yeah. And interesting this would be when I tell you, and especially when you asked me the post-physical frame withdrawal of Bhagwan, the way, you know, humbly I would say I connect myself with Swami is by letter writing.
Okay.
Yeah. And the basis for this is what Swami told me even before I came to Puttaparthi to take up this special assignment. We had done a Gram Seva and Swami had given us an interview. And while I was leaving, I was the last individual to leave the room, he called me and said, "Edi chesina cheppi chey." Whatever you do, you tell me and do. So obviously, you know, every time you do a thing, you don't get the opportunity to talk to Swami. So I thought writing a letter to Swami is the best. And in that way, perhaps I was very conspicuous or perhaps notorious in the veranda that I used to give letters to Bhagwan frequently. And Swami himself once laughed and said, "Rojo ko letter."
Okay.
Yeah. And the second basis for this habit of letter writing, writing letter to the Master, is what my good friend, my noble friend, Mr. Rommel, who I would say has been my mentor, the architect of my spiritual life at the human level. We need to be grateful to people who have led us.
Yes.
And sir always used to say that please have the habit of letter writing, because Swami had told me that even people close to me, around me, do not know the secret. And Swami told him, the moment you put your pen on the paper, you are in direct touch with my cosmic consciousness, the cosmic energy. The energy flows to you. And Mr. Rommel told me that Swami had also said that when you pray, it is only your thought which comes to me. But when you write, it is your thought, word and action. All the three you are placing it at the lotus feet of the Master. So, initially, Mr. Rommel told me, anything you can write. And, you know, when we are still a little in our childhood of spirituality, you know, but I used to feel not shy. And after all, I used to feel, if not to my mother, to whom I'll tell my problems. So I used to write everything. As you know, with passage of time, you realize that you should ask Swami the larger things. But what I ultimately realized is this habit, this process of letter writing is nothing but a way of surrendering yourself to the Lord.
Correct.
Because when you write everything, you are not asking. I never used to ask Swami, this should happen that way. But Swami, I'm caught up in this problem. Swami, this. To the extent, he used to say, my friend, you even can write, I'm having headache. And you need not even give these letters to Swami. You can post them or even tear them off. And he himself, in one emergency, he was the Consul General of our Indian Embassy, an IFS, Indian Foreign Services man. In one critical period, he wrote a letter on his thigh itself. It was a very, very critical situation, the details of which we need not go in the course of his discharging his work, when the Prime Minister of India had come to that country and he was in a tight spot. So anyway, this letter writing has been another, and I do that even now. And every month I even place the list of doctors who are coming for seva, the surgeries which we are going to do at the lotus feet of our master in the Samadhi Mandir. And not only that, I feel that it lightens our mind.
Exactly. Once you offer it,
yes,
you're just given everything.
Yes, it removes the tension, it removes, and it's such a wonderful, and there are umpteen number of times where, you know, after writing this letter, it might have happened incidentally or accidentally, but I feel with Swami, no incidentally, no accidentally, it is always intentionally that Bhagavan does these things. So, these three ways of taking the name of the Lord, and especially when he talked about the photograph of Bhagavan being so powerful, when Swami himself had said it is he himself, literally he himself there. You know, there have been times when I had been in critical situations in our seva work. Like in Hyderabad, when we used to do Gram Seva, we had taken up one young individual for a pancreatic surgery. And unexpectedly, this individual had gone into a very severe complication post-op. And I was not worried that individually my name would get tarnished, but the larger cause for which we are doing the seva, the Satya Sai Seva organization or Bhagavan himself, you know, these would be, to some extent, people may start talking about in case this young individual dies. So when I got a phone call from the hospital, the chief doctor called me and told me that he's critical, his BP is only 60 by 40, but we have to take him inside the theater and do a major surgery. I just went inside the bathroom attached to my room, and Swami's photo was not there. I cried. I caught hold of the tap. I caught hold of the wall. I said, Virata Swarupa of Bhagavan is everything. Bhagavan, please hear my prayer. Please go and take charge of the whole situation. So, if the photo is a focused form of meaning, getting ourselves connected with it, even if the photo is not there, everything we know is Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat with that bhav.
Yes. If you close your eye, in your mind's eye, the photo is there.
So is there, yeah. So taking the name of the Lord, visualizing the photo with deep intent, bow and concentration and praying, and the habit of letter writing have been the ways. Even now, these are the methods which have stood me in good stead. And really speaking, I feel that now is the time when we have to really rise up. A great responsibility is cast on our shoulders. We know everything Bhagavan himself does, but when we are an actor in the drama, we should play, yes, I should do my role properly.
Correct.
And in this process, never feel the absence, physical absence of Swami, but employ such methods.
Yes.
You know, different individuals have different methods.
Yes.
These are only a few methods, you know, perhaps.
Yes. Every person has his own
way. Own way of connecting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when you listen to others, it definitely strengthens,
yes,
your faith and,
yes,
your sadhana,
yes,
and you are bolstered on your path.
Yeah, and you get subtle hints or overt,
yes,
hints also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That definitely helps you. But post April 2011, how has been your experience with the mission? How is it going, and how challenged or energetic do you feel now?
Yeah, it's a good question. In fact, you know, immediately after that April 24th, which I would call the saddest day of Kali Yuga, I was a little apprehensive because our service, especially the mobile hospital service, is manned by doctors who come from outside Puttaparthi, from the different districts of Hyderabad. So I was a little worried that, after all, they may start feeling that, why should we go all the way to Puttaparthi? Let me do seva here only at my end. Nothing wrong in their feeling that way. But I am so glad to tell you that after the physical withdrawal of the frame of Bhagavan, there has been no shortage of doctors.
Wonderful.
And I can say perhaps literally all the doctors, except the few who are not coming because of age or because of physical ailment or getting moving out of the country, the seva has been going on, and Swami has proved once again that after all, it is not you, but I who do, but you have to do the work as an actor on the stage. So I always feel that now I should work more hard, but at knowing at the bottom of my heart that it is Bhagwan who, of course, does it. And especially in situations where we are in a tight spot, driven to the wall, now saying, Swami, we can't do anything, please take over the whole thing. So, and another interesting thing which I have noticed now in the doctors who are coming, a number of postgraduate students, young doctors, they are coming. In fact, we had made conscious attempts for this before also. In fact, we thought one or two sessions of the mobile hospital we'll have manned by only young doctors before, like when Swami was there physically. But
just to expose them.
Yes, expose. And also tell Bhagwan. Bhagwan likes seva by youth. He likes the youth to be in the forefront.
Correct.
But somehow it never happened. But now we find so many young postgraduate students coming. And on the academic front also, you may be aware that when the internationally acclaimed Cambridge University students came, the Cambridge authorities wrote back to us that in the history of Cambridge, they never had such an excellent academic, you know, sort of a training which their students got from any center all over the world.
Awesome.
Yes, that was what they wrote to us. And you'd be interested to note, we don't talk in terms of religion. The first Muslim doctor came for our seva last month.
Okay.
And he is one Dr. Kalam, a young orthopedic surgeon. So Swami has been showing, and also both the width and the depth of the seva. We have been very humbly trying to increase its scope, and Bhagwan has always been helpful. In fact, the last sort of an expansion of seva in terms of the diagnostics, the letter which I had made, Bhagwan had seen, I think, a few weeks before April 24th and blessed me. So, as I would reiterate, it is only the manifest form of Bhagwan which is not there for us to really look to, but the unmanifest form, the impersonal, the Virata Swarupa of Bhagwan is there always. And not only that, many of our doctors now are having experiences like, you know, in their house, Vibhuti coming out from Swami's photo. And in one doctor, Ashwini Kumar's house, the physical frame of Swami, the outline of it appeared in the wall when sir was on the bed with vertebral fracture, but feeling very bad that he is unable to come to mobile hospital service.
Oh,
he comes every month. And he just came for a few minutes to sit in the, he was not permitted to sit for long, a few minutes to sit in the drawing room, and there is a thud sound heard in the puja room. They all went and saw, nothing is there. Suddenly they saw on the wall the outline of Bhagwan.
Wow.
And they put their finger on the wall. No, it was not an art or some chalk piece or, you know, or some sketch pen. No. Anybody would say, even a non-believer, this is Bhagwan Satyasai Baba. And after 4 days, on the face part, there appeared clearly Shirdi Sai Baba, and on the heart, Prem Sai Baba, the photo which...
Prem Sai Baba.
Yes.
Wow.
The photo which, it's on the internet, I'll forward it to you. And the photo of Bhagwan Prem Sai Baba is the same as what Swami had materialized to our brother John Hislop, the same thing. And again after 4 or 5 days, there appeared around this photo the Sarvadharma different symbols. But there appeared 6 symbols, we didn't understand what it is. And even now his puja room has that. And many of our doctors went to Machilipatnam where he stays, and so many doctors have had these experiences. As you know, these experiences are a manifestation of Bhagwan's omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, all the attributes which you can ask for a God. And if somebody asks me, is Bhagwan God? I tell them, I don't know what the word God means. He's more than a God. Yes, because all the attributes which you talk of, more than that, Bhagwan has shown and is showing.
And
I think with the Ramavatar and Krishnavatar, I don't know, I have not read much about these books. But I really wonder whether such manifestations occurred even after the avatar had withdrawn his physical frame. But yes. Now with Swami you see that.
And here in the time of Rama, Krishna, in the time of other spiritual masters with Buddha or Jesus, you hear one or two anecdotes of resurrection or omnipresence.
Yes.
But here today there are so many.
So many.
That you can never ever think of in the documentary.
And especially we, you know, as you said, we had the extra privilege of close proximity and all. We feel absolutely, totally, literally humbled.
Absolutely.
We just feel we are a small speck, we are nobody. Every individual who comes to Prashanthi Nilayam has an experience, has a story, has a spiritual background of how Swami had influenced him. Every individual one. This is not a floating pilgrimage center where you find crowds and rush. Every individual has an experience.
Yes.
Which has seen,
Yes. The saga continues, nothing has changed.
Yes.
As Bhagwan mentioned to Charles Penn in that meditation, your mission has begun. And as you mentioned, our mission is on. Whatever little role that we have to play, we have to do it with much more dedication, much more devotion, and with much more faith and conviction.
Yeah.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. Krishnamachari Narasimhan, the director of Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital. And as he mentioned, through Bhagwan's name, through Bhagwan's meditating on his form, through writing letters, we connect to Swami. I'm reminded of a devotee, Sridhar Pavani, from Secunderabad. She has sent us an email saying, "Then and now I connect with Swami through prayer, namasmarana, meditating on His beautiful form. Swami's photograph bestows signs of grace. When we pray before Swami's photograph, chanting 108 names or after bhajan, His photographs becomes more alive. It becomes bright with light placed. The flowers placed on His photograph sometimes fall. Sometimes there is smell of fragrance which fill the air. Sometimes lamps placed near His altar glow brightly. And for longer hours with little oil, garlands stay fresh for 3 days. Peace and bliss fills the whole atmosphere. We feel His presence in so many ways. Swami responds to true sincere prayers. He guides and protects always. Whenever I fail to practice Swami's teachings daily, I pray to Swami for sincere devotion, courage and strength to follow His teachings. Every morning and evening, it is prayers which help me to connect with Swami. Chanting Swami's name with His form in my mind, reading and listening to His glorious stories fill me with energy. They remove my sickness, they refresh me mentally. And they energize me physically." And this is what Sridhar Pavani, a devotee from Secunderabad, has written. And there is Miss Laura Tyler from United Kingdom. She says, "I only heard of Swami in 2012 and I started worshipping Him in early 2013. I think Swami is still very much here with us. Just in a more subtle form, which is His true form. I think His message is just as strong now as when He was in His physical form. I am a bit sad that I cannot ever appreciate His physical form, but His true form is enough for me. His true form is this subtle form, His cosmic form. I am able to connect to Him via listening to His voice, His messages and His bhajans. But the best of all is meditation and spiritual sadhana. As I am blind, I cannot appreciate Him visually. But meditating on Him selflessly is enough for me to connect to my Swami. Doing service in His name is great. Seeing Swami in everything also helps me apply Swami to my everyday life. In summary," she says, "selfless love and faith is the best way to connect to the Lord." Yes, selfless love and faith. If we have
selfless love, and if we are absolutely sure of Baba's divinity, of his infinite cosmic power, his grace, his glory, then we will always find that connection. In fact, as a devotee said, we need not connect with the Lord. The Lord will want to connect with us if we have that faith, if we have that love for the Lord. So let us never lose an opportunity to cultivate this faith, this love, and foster and sustain and strengthen this connection, because this is the only connection that is worth keeping in our lives. Thank you so much. I am Team Radio Sai Bishu, and it is time to close this last segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day, and do send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving sai-ram from Prashant Nilayam. We offer every program all throughout the day at the lotus feet of our most merciful beloved Bhagwan. As I sign off now, you will listen to a drama by Balvika students from Atlanta, USA. They had enacted this in Bhagwan's presence on 23rd November 2002. So enjoy listening to this. Little ones from Atlanta offering their love to Bhagwan. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.